morning. Good to see you. If you have your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 5. So if you'll find your copy of God's Word and go to 2 Timothy chapter 5, that's where we'll be looking this morning. These days, I've been talking to the church about our sacred trust. Those of us who know Jesus, I've been talking to us about the sacred trust God has given to each of us who are believers. So the last 3 weeks, we've talked about these chairs to my right and in front of you that represent the five living generations that are in our world today and also in our church. Last hour at 9 o'clock, we had a number of people come and join our church, make decisions for Jesus from every one of those generations. So each time we meet, we're not all in the same building at the same time in the same place. But we have those who've come our way who are from all of these different generations. So we have an obligation, a sacred trust, to tell them about Jesus and help them know about the Lord. But before we get to the church and our obligation, this week and next week we're going to be talking about the godly family and the godly family's sacred trust. So, if you have your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1, let's stand together in honor of the reading of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. Now here's our verse for the day. We're going to focus on verse 5. For I am mindful, or I remember, the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. Heavenly Father, as we stand before you, I pray, Lord, for the godly families of this church. Lord, I pray for the moms and the dads, the husbands' wives, the grandparents, grandfathers, grandmothers, great-grandfathers, great-grandmothers. Lord, we pray for the boys and girls who are here, students who are here, and for the babies and the children in the nursery. So, Lord, we are overwhelmed by the needs of all the generations that come, and all the needs in our families, our birth families. We need your help. Lord, I pray that you might teach us today our sacred trust and responsibility to telling our own family about Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So today I want you to begin by noticing in verse number 5, Paul says, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. So first of all, this morning, the family is a multi-generational family. So all of us this morning, whether your family has just started, you come from, and I know this is a newsflash, but did you know that everybody who's here today was born into a family? Now, isn't that amazing? You came to church for Pastor Mike to tell you that. Aren't you amazed? You were born, right? You did have a family, right? You still do. Now, some of us are happy with our family. Some of us are not happy with our family. Nevertheless, we all have been born into this world, and we have a family. You have certain genetics, DNA. Why, some of you look a lot alike in here. All these generations, mothers sitting next to their children, you see it all around. So we are born into a family, and Paul reminds us that the church and our birth families are always connected in sharing the gospel, in telling people about Jesus. Our family has a part in that. So Paul remembers Timothy's grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. Lois and Eunice. Lois and Eunice. A grandmother and a mother. No mention of a dad here. No mention of grandfathers here. A grandmother, and a mother who shared with their son the truths of God's Word. So this morning we're thinking about the first level of sacred trust in a family is that we tell our families about Jesus. Now I want you, while you're in 2 Timothy, to turn quickly in your Bible. And the last book in the entire Old Testament is the book of Malachi. I don't have this on my notes here on the screen, but I'd like for you to look there for a moment if you have your Bibles open. Malachi chapter 4, the very last verse stated in the Old Testament, which then we have 400 years between this last verse and the verse in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 1. So this verse is the last verse in the entire Old Testament. And it has to do with families. With families. We learn from Malachi the prophet that a day is coming. A day is coming, Malachi says, for the day is coming. And then in verse 6, he says what one of the things God will do in that day. This was a promise about the coming of Jesus. But it was also a promise about someone who would come before Jesus to prepare the way. You see, there's something that happens to all of us who are born again, and it's called repentance. In order to be born again, I must turn from my old way of life, confess my sin, repent of my old ways. And John the Baptist was that one who made the way ready for Jesus. Verse 6, the last verse in the Old Testament. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. The curse of God is avoided when we repent of our sins and come to Jesus. Those of you who are students of the Bible and study a little bit more, you go over to Luke chapter 1, verse 17. You can read the parallel verse where Luke reminds us this is a prophecy fulfilled about the coming of John the Baptist. What I want you to hear this morning is this. When I get my life right with God, when I repent, when I turn from my old ways of living, when I turn from my sinfulness and selfishness, whether I'm a young person or whether I'm an old person, whether I'm a father, a mother, a grandmother, a grandfather, or a child growing up, it turns my heart, first of all, back to my birth family. You must hear that today. More than anything else, if we're to understand what it means to have a sacred trust of telling the generations about Jesus, we must remember that every one of us in this room are a part of a birth family with all these chairs represented. And when God does something in our life, and when we repent of our sin and our selfishness, we no longer feel separated from our grandparents and our parents if we're a younger person. We don't feel separated from our siblings anymore. We feel drawn back to them. Our heart comes back to our own family of birth. And we begin to have our hearts turned toward our own family. Well, this is very important in the life of a church. Before we can ever be Jesus to other people who are not in our birth family, the question is, how do we respond, those of us who say we're followers of Jesus, to our own birth family? The young, is your heart turned toward the old? Or is your heart turned away from them? The old, do you look down on the young? And your heart is turned away from them. So we learn that in the coming of Jesus, tied to repentance, connected to being born again, is the fact that when I am sensitive to God, when I confess my sin, when I repent of my sins, my heart is turned back to my birth family, wherever I'm at. If I'm young, I love my mom and dad more than I used to. I love my grandparents, maybe my great-grandparents. If I'm an older person, if I'm a grandparent, I love not only my children, I love those grandchildren. I love my own sisters and brothers. Oh, this is so important because you see, in telling people about Jesus, we learn, first of all, Paul ties it here to the ministry of Timothy. And Timothy, what a man. What a man. God used Timothy in such an amazing way. Church planter, preacher. Listen, when Paul left, I want you to hear me. When Paul left, we read all through the book of Acts. We read all through his letters. When Paul finished his ministry, he left Timothy. And Timothy is the one who established many of these churches, established the way they were organized, put their leaders together, taught the word of God in season and out of season. He's the one who, as a young man, stayed in hard places and told others about Jesus. But he had a family. This is the second thing I want you to see. A family that understood and responded to the gospel. The second thing I want you to see is this. The gospel of Jesus is spread to the generations through families. As important as this church is, and we'll get to the church and our responsibility to these chairs in the days ahead. As important as that is, oh, there is no place like the birth family. There is no place where there is greater impression made on a child, greater opportunities to teach the young, greater opportunities for the old and the young to connect and to meet and to talk than there is in the family. And no matter what may happen in our culture, look, we must fight as God's people. We must fight to make plans and an effort to bring all the generations together in our birth family. Listen, Thanksgiving's a big deal. And it's not the turkey. It's the generations that gather together. Christmas is a big deal. Birthdays are a big deal. Anniversaries are a big deal. And it doesn't matter if the young whine and complain and roll on the ground and want it to be over. There is nothing, nothing better in the birth family than for all the generations to be together. God's will. The first thing that happens when we come to know Jesus, when we repent of our sins, guess what? God changes our heart toward our family. And some of us, we haven't been happy with our families most of our lives. We come to church and we see all these, what we would think are model families. Boy, if we just had a family like that family. No, no. You see, when you come to know Jesus, He softens your heart toward your own family, your brothers and sisters who may not know Jesus today, your children who may not know Jesus, your grandchildren who may not know Jesus, your parents who might not know Jesus, your grandparents, your great-grandparents. Every generation matters to God. And whether they're 75 years old or 7 years old, the gospel of Jesus is spread through the generations. Paul says, I am mindful of the sincere faith which was in your grandmother, your mother, and you. Now, I have to say this to you quickly. My time is short, but I want you to listen. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm not trying to speak against our culture, but this is true in every culture in the world when it comes to this thing of knowing Jesus. You see, you must have your own personal faith. Family faith will never get you to heaven. Did you know that? Just bringing your children to church and hoping that somehow something good happens to them, they have a good influence, is not enough. I've had people say to me, you know, Pastor Mike, I come from a long family of, we've got preachers in our family and deacons in our family. Okay, that's great. That was great for them. But what about you? You know, when Jesus talked to Nicodemus about being born again, he was a religious leader, famous religious leader. Jesus could have paused and said, by the way, you have an amazing family tree, family pedigree, heritage. Jesus didn't talk about his family. He said to this religious leader, as I'm saying to all of you, I say it every week, I talk about it all again, over and over again, you were born physically into this world in a birth family, but you must be born again spiritually to be a part of God's family. And so everybody here, you must have your own faith in God. You must trust the Lord yourself. Mama's faith isn't going to get you to heaven. Regardless of what the country music world says about daddy loved Jesus and mama did this and she read her Bible and there's holes in heaven and you can see up through there and somehow I'm going to get in because of mama. It's not true. It's not true. Family faith is not personal faith in Jesus. You must be born again individually. You must have your own relationship to God. And I promise you this, when you come to know the Lord, He will first soften your heart about your family. With that said, there's one other thing I want you to see this morning. It's this. Family believers, those of us who know Jesus in our family, see, here's what I know. Not every family member in your greater family knows Jesus. Family believers share their faith and God's word with unbelieving family members. Jesus said, I am come to bring a sword. The sword wasn't that he was coming to judge. The sword is when you talk about Jesus at a family reunion between those who love Jesus and those who are not. I've heard it before in my own family. We're not going to talk about Jesus today. Politics. Really? Well, I'm going to keep talking about Jesus. I'm going to keep saying what I'm going to say about Jesus. I'm going to keep saying, you know, I read this in my Bible. I'm not going to do it ugly. I'm not going to do it with meanness. I'm going to do it out of genuine kindness because all that are in my family need to know Jesus. So you see, everybody has to make their own personal commitment to Jesus. So in the families of our church, many who come here, not everyone in your family believes. Some of you have lots of siblings, like I have four sisters. So you have to ask yourself the question as you pray for your siblings, do they all know Jesus? As you pray for your parents, as you pray for grandparents. You see, our heart first is turned toward our home. Notice in 2 Timothy 3, Paul gives us a little bit more glimpse into Timothy's background. So here's a young man whose father was a Greek. I put it here in Acts 16. Timothy believed on Jesus after Paul's preaching. His mother and his grandmother believed on Jesus, but they were Jewish. And from their Jewish tradition, the mother and grandmother taught Timothy the Old Testament. He was blessed to have a Jewish mother and grandmother who taught him the Torah, the Old Testament, the Word of God. He learned about Abraham. He learned about David. He learned about Samuel. He learned about the kings. He learned about the Psalms. He learned the Proverbs. Memorized many of them as he'd go to synagogue and see them unroll the scroll and read from God's word, carrying in those sacred scrolls, the very words of God, and hearing them. He grew up, Paul says, you remember, Timothy, the things you learned and become convinced of knowing where you've learned them and that from childhood, that's the blessing we have here. The church joins the family, but listen, the family's the first place where you must teach your children God's word. Lois and Eunice didn't know as much as the rabbi at the synagogue in Derbe and Lystra, but they taught the sacred scriptures. They taught young Timothy, this half-Jewish, half-Gentile boy, about the promises of the Messiah to come, that from a childhood you have known the sacred scriptures which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's why at home, children need to see dads with an open Bible, mothers with an open Bible, grandparents with open Bibles who talk about Jesus, who talk about their experience. I put in your bulletin an insert, and next week we'll talk more about this, the family's obligation and responsibility to teaching the generations about God. But there are some good ideas for young families in here and for senior adult families. All of us to do at home around God's word. Look, praying and studying the Bible is something that's very important in church, but praying and studying the Bible and talking about the things of God at a dinner table uninterrupted by all the texts and the phones and the tablets and the TV and the music, getting together in your generational opportunities together, to talk about what God has done, that cannot be done or duplicated at church. The family believer shares their faith and God's word with an unbelieving family. I want you to know this today, you godly parents who are here. What you say to your children will never be hurt about God. What you say to them, what you teach them about the Bible, what you teach them about your own prayer life. Do they see mom and dad disciplined enough to pray? Do they see mom and dad disciplined enough to be Jesus to other people and to one another in the family? Do they recognize and see? Do you see when you go to those family reunions and some in the family want to hear nothing about God and Jesus? Do you let your light shine, as we talked about? Do you live blamelessly? Do you live without being pure and undefiled? Do you live in such a way that others see Jesus in you among those family members who don't know Jesus? You see, Lois and Eunice came to know Jesus, and the impact they had on Timothy, this young preacher, would never be measured. And I want to say to all of you who are parents and grandparents, remember, what you say in secret will be said to the next generation. What you say in secret. Talk to your children about God. Read the Bible passage that we read together each day with your family. Pray. You say, Pastor Mike, I don't know all these things. I can't talk like you talk. Well, thank goodness you can't talk like I talk. Your family would go crazy listening to you talk all the time like that. You just get up and share the Bible. You just read God's Word together. You just pray. Find the time as a family to talk about God and the great things of God. You see, the family's first obligation, the godly family, you know, the first prayer that ought to be prayed when your children's born is, Lord, I dedicate this child to you, and may they be born again when they come to that age where they can understand. Not may they have a great education, that's important. Not may they find a good person to be married to, that's important. Not may their family be good and may they live in peace. No, all those things are good. But the first prayer, Lord, may my children come to know Jesus, and may they then tell others about Jesus. Well, as we close, I wanted to mention one other thing. God uses family relationships to spread the gospel. Now, quickly, and I'm not going to have you turn to it. It's here on the screen. I want to turn the tables here. First, we talked about Titus. Now I want to talk about a first-generation man who came to know Jesus and what he did with his family. You say, Pastor Mike, I'm the first one in my family to know Jesus. Great. You may be young and just starting your family. But this man, Cornelius, he was a Roman centurion. I mean, the centurions are the special forces of the Roman military machine. You can read about it on your own. Strong, powerful leaders. Cornelius was a God-fearing man. He was a Gentile. He didn't know anything about the Old Testament. He didn't know anything about Abraham, David, and the rest of it. He was a God-fearer. Maybe he heard some of it from his Jewish friends there in the community, the Jewish people in Caesarea. They were respectful of him, the Bible tells us. But he prayed, and God spoke to him and said, you call Peter the preacher and have Peter the preacher come to your house. And we read here in Acts 10:24. This is a man who didn't own a Bible. He didn't know anything about the Old Testament. But he feared God and wanted a relationship with God. And he called. Notice I've underlined it here for you, the phrase I want you to see. God uses family relationships to spread the gospel. See, he wasn't at church. He wasn't in a synagogue. He was at his house. And Cornelius called his relatives together. Grandma showed up. Grandpa showed up. The kids were there. And his other friends. And they all came to hear the preacher come over and talk about something that an angel had said to Cornelius would happen. And I've given you this. Peter says in the next chapter, telling the story to other followers of Jesus after it had happened, he said that the angel said, send to Joppa and have Simon, who is called Peter, brought here. Now notice what it says. I've put it underlined so you can all read it with me. Peter will speak words to you by which you will be saved. You, listen, and your household. You and your household. So maybe you're the first in your family to know Jesus. I want to remind you of what I've said this every week. Old people can still come to Jesus. Young people can still come to Jesus. The power of the gospel is greater than any cultural barrier. You better listen to what I'm saying this morning. I listen to some of my friends and others who talk about the gospel and evangelism, and you get the impression it's too hard. The culture's too tough. We can't overcome it. Listen, there's nothing that cannot be overcome by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do we believe that, ladies and gentlemen? No matter what the age, an old person can come to Jesus. Well, they're miserable. They've lived in drunkenness and wickedness most of their life. They can come to Jesus. They're still alive. They're still vertical. There's still a chance. Some of you and your family, those that you've given up on, well, we just got to work on these young people. No, you work on all the people. You work on every age. You talk to them all about Jesus. You love them all in Jesus' name. Cornelius was the first in a whole new generation of people who followed Jesus. And in this church, the same thing has happened through its history. In the churches I've served in other places, I've seen it all of my ministry life. One Cornelius comes along who invites all of his family and friends to hear the preacher because he certainly doesn't know what to do. And they all come to know Jesus, and an entire family comes to know Jesus. God uses family relationships. Call your cousin. Call your neighbor. Now, I'm going to leave this with you for some of my good scriptural bloodhounds in here. You can go look this up on your own. But you know, you end the book of Romans, which is probably Paul's greatest of all of his letters. We could all debate that. Amazing letter, what he wrote to Rome. But at the end of the letter, in chapter 16, he goes through this long list of all these people's names that most of us in here can't even say their names. They're Jewish and Gentile names from another era and another time. But you know what's interesting about Paul's list? Now, I'm finishing, but listen. Did you know God even used Paul's relatives to advance the gospel? It's true. In the list in Romans chapter 16, he lists three cousins. We know they were cousins because they weren't just fellow Jews. He calls them my kinsmen. The word that he uses is describing one who is born from the same family background. Not Jewish, but cousins. Two of them came to know Jesus before Paul. Some of them, his cousins, were in jail with him. His own family was out helping advance the gospel. In Romans 16, it talks about two households. Two households, and in those households, many had come to know Jesus by faith in those households. There are many households represented in this room, many households that have been represented in this church all day long. Not everybody in the household knows Jesus. Not everybody in the household is saved, but there are some who are. And those who are saved in the household keep talking to the others in the household about Jesus. In Romans chapter 16, Paul talks about a brother and a sister. He names them by name. In Romans 16, Paul talks about a man named Rufus and his mother, and he says, "She's my mother too." So what I want you to know this morning is this. Don't ever underestimate the sacred trust given to you as a believer in your family. It doesn't matter how many rascals there are in your family. It doesn't matter how mean they are. It doesn't matter how far away from God they are. It doesn't matter whether they ever care about naming the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter. You know Jesus, and here's our obligation, our sacred trust. Our sacred trust is to do like Cornelius. Just keep inviting them. Just keep talking to them. Just keep sharing with them. An angel. Cornelius had an advantage. He had a promise from the angel. Get the preacher here. He'll speak words and you'll be saved and so will your household. But I promise you this, friend. If you go to your family, old and young alike, and say, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Here's what God did in my life. One time I was like this. I was in my sin. Here's the way I used to live. You know what's funny about your family? You can't fool your family. They know. I'm talking about your birth family. They know if what you're saying is real or not. But when you go to your family and say, this is what I used to be like. This is how I came to know Jesus. I repented of my sin and I trusted and believed on Jesus that he died on the cross. He rose again. And this is what I'm becoming. My life is changing. I'm becoming a new person. And you just keep saying, this is what I'm... This, you tell them your story. You tell them your story. And when we do that, God gives us Christian homes. Hey, here's the old hymn. You remember this one? God give us Christian homes. You remember that old song? God give us Christian homes. Homes where the Bible is loved and taught. Homes where the Master's will is sought. Homes crowned with beauty your love has wrought. God give us Christian homes. Well, for Timothy, it started with a grandmother and a mother who did the best they could with the Old Testament, with their confidence that a Messiah would come, and one day an old ragged Jewish preacher showed up in their town, and all he could do was talk about Jesus. His name was Paul. And they heard the good news about Jesus, the coming one, the promised one, and they believed. And the rest of the story we have in our Bible about Timothy, who had a grandmother and a mother who taught him the scriptures as a child. So some of you boys and girls, keep talking to your moms and dads and your grandparents who maybe don't go to church or don't know Jesus. Just tell them about Jesus. Tell them about what you're learning in your Bible. Tell them about the things that you're learning with your mom and dad. Tell your parents, tell your family about Jesus. When it comes to Christmas time, talk about how Jesus came into this world. At Thanksgiving time, give thanks for what the Lord has done. Oh, how amazing it is to see the younger generation lead the older to Jesus, isn't it? I've seen it many times in my life. So no matter how young you are, boys and girls, students, you can tell your family about Jesus. Don't be afraid. The gospel is more powerful than any cultural barrier. The gospel is more powerful. So we go out of here as preachers. We go out of here as tellers. We go to tell our families first, our blood families, what Jesus has done for us. Amen. May God help us do it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the opportunity we have to be together to hear about Cornelius, even about Paul, who labored with his own cousins and family members, who the Lord used many households and families to bring people to Jesus. Lord, we think about Timothy and his grandmother and his mother. Some of us are thankful for our grandparents who walked with God, who taught us the things of God. Many of us are thankful for our parents who did their part to help us come to know Jesus. Oh, Lord, I pray for First Baptist Church Dixon that you might raise up godly families, families here who truly, truly, moms and dads who teach their children about Jesus, boys and girls who tell their brothers and sisters about Jesus and their grandparents and their parents. Lord, may one generation say to another generation the glories and greatness of God. Help us to see it, Lord, in our own day, that the gospel is advanced through the families of our church. So perhaps you're here this morning and you need to make a commitment to Jesus. We had others in the last service who came and who said it was time to join this church as a family. All right, if you need to do that, it's time to do it. Some of you put it off for a while. You know you need to do it from the balcony below. There's enough time for you to come. Perhaps you're here this morning and you need to come and say, look, I need to trust Jesus Christ. I need to be born again. I've been religious. I've tried all of that, but my heart's still cold. I need to be born again. Well, we invite you to come. We invite you to come this morning talk to one of the preachers, say, look, this is what I'm trying to do. I need help. This is what I feel the Lord wants me to do. And I believe God will give you the strength to do it. So let's stand together. And as we stand together, we're going to sing, Lord, I need you. You come on down from the balcony or below. We'll wait for you. Come on as we sing. Anybody here?